You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Corporate headquarters of All Marine Radio. Amazing week. Just got back yesterday from being gone all week, and it was awesome. Yeah, I don't have that many weeks that are straight up. Well, I'm having them more and more these days, but wow, yeah, it was good on top of good on top of good on top of good. So the week got to see Josh and Mike and Katie. Dave Furness was there. Commandant was there. So a whole bunch of my friends were there. So that was awesome. That, you know, so, and then, you know, the whole post-traumatic winning thing is even awesomer. So that's and the response to it was awesome-ist. And then after that, I had additional meetings during the week. Got a chance to meet Ken Falk. That was awesome. And go up and see, in the dark, mind you, the whole thing that he and Josh and that whole crew do up at Boulder Crest. So that was awesome. And ate some good Chinese food because I was hungry. Drove back from that place, I don't know, about 10 at night. And... took about an hour and a half to get back to Quantico from where they are in Western Virginia. Not West Virginia, but Western Virginia, up in the hills a little bit. And, you know, at night, windy roads, kind of getting to the interstate. Yeah, and it's, you don't drive those for like 2 miles. It was a long way. So, yeah, Deer City, right? So, watching that. And, got back, and that was, what, Thursday night? Friday, met with more general officers about who had seen the post-traumatic winning thing and wanted to talk about it. So did that. And then, let's see, what else? And then Saturday, listen to this. I'm not your basic aviation geek, right? I mean, I built models as a kid, but and aviation's cool. So my son, my daughter-in-law, and my grandson, they were headed out to the Air and Space, what is it called? Hold on. I have it written down here, or typed down. The National Air and Space Museum, located near Dulles. It's out near Dulles. It's not the one on the mall, right? I walked in that place. And I was like, from the start, I was like, wow. Wow. And then it even went like more wow than that. So you walk in, and for those of you who've ever seen them, how do I say it? If you've seen the blimp hangars in Tustin, California, that have been there since we were sailing blimps off the coast looking for submarines and stuff like that, the Navy was. They are hangars bigger than that. Yeah, that kind. Yeah, huge structures. And that one, the one that the museum is, it's like a T. Okay? So you walk in the front, and all of a sudden you see, as far as you can see, which I would have to say might be a couple hundred meters in each direction. Now that, maybe 150 meters in each direction. That's how big this thing is. So it might be 300, 400 meters, maybe longer. In length. And then at the T kind of, you know, so you walk across this thing, and there's another one that heads like perpendicular to the long axis. I know I'm getting geometrically complicated on you right now, and it's Monday, but I apologize. So anyhow, so then there's another one of these things, not as long, maybe half as long, and the Space Shuttle Columbia's in there. So anyway, so I walk in and kind of looking around, you're like, whoa, look at this. And there's aircraft hanging everywhere. And so we walk in and we kind of walk a little bit to the left. And then we walk kind of down this catwalk, you know, big walkway, right? To the left, and we walk there, and then we hang a right. And now this catwalk rock. This catwalk goes over the top of the thing. Okay? So, we do that. And I look, and here's a B-29. And there's all these aircraft suspended from the ceiling, some on the ground. Crazy. So, I see it, and I'm like, oh, look, a replica of a B-29. Or a restored B-29. So I walk up, and there's this guy that works there, standing there. I said, hey, how are you? And he said, I'm good. And so I introduced myself, and I said, is this a replica of the Enola Gay? Because it says Enola Gay on the outside. And he said, no, it is the Enola Gay. And I went, bwah! I said, that's the Enola Gay? He said, that's the Enola Gay. He said, that is the original paint with the name of Enola Gay on that. That's it. And you're sitting there going, you've got to be kidding me. This is a piece of world history, let alone American history. And so you're standing there. Now, how many times you've watched videotape of the Enola Gay, you know, and Paul Tibbetts, and heard the story, and dropping the bomb, and the video they took, and, you know, you've heard him speak of it. Yeah. So, So I sat there and I geeked out about that. And I was like, you've got to be kidding me. And so then I started to go to my museum place that my family doesn't like me to go to. It's like, oh no, he's going there. And there means that he's going to that place. He's like uncontrollably geeky museum guy. Exactly. Exactly. And so, I went there. But let me just tell you, I don't know what I expected. I expected a different version of what is downtown, right? You know, there's the Wright Brothers playing, there's Lindbergh's playing. But, oh my God. So I geek out over, oh, let me tell you, here's another cool thing about the Enola Gay. If you look at the picture that I'll post with this, it's a picture of the, kind of the cockpit where, especially the place where the bombardier sits in the nose of the B-29. The guy looks at me and says, that's the site they used. I said, huh? He said, that's all the sites are serialized. They were checked out for every mission. That is the site that was used on that bombing run. And just like, now, I'm like totally pegging the geek meter. And I'm just like, whoa. This is crazy, awesome stuff. So I'm standing there. And so then I'm like, okay, well, then I got to find my son. Like, when I go to Geekland, it's normal. I stay at stuff too long because I'm, you know, interested because it's history and, yeah, the Enola Gay, man. Come on. Are you kidding me? So anyway, and then I got in a conversation with the dude. And so they're down by the space shuttle. My son sends me a text message. Hey, we're over where the space shuttle is. So I'm like looking around like, okay, where's the space shuttle? So then you look and you see down that the long axis of the T. And so I just walked down the catwalk, I walked down the stairs, and now you're walking into the space shuttle thing. I took a picture from the nose of the space shuttle that, let me just tell you, it's absolutely awesome. You get a sense of how big that thing was, man. It's absolutely crazy. Then you walk around back. I'll put all these big images, right? Not the dinky ones. Oh, man, I should be a photographer. Look at this son of a bitch. But you get a sense of, if you look at it, I'm looking at it right now in case you can't tell. You look at it, you see all the tiles on there, right? And you see people in the background, and they're tiny. This thing was gigantic. And then you walk around to the back. And you walk around to the back, and you're like, wow. And the engines, right? I don't know, like a 5-6-story, you know, building. They are absolutely monstrous. So as I'm walking down to the side of the space shuttle, it would be the starboard side of the space shuttle for you naval people, okay? Or the right side for everybody else. So I'm walking down the right side of the space shuttle, kind of looking at it, and just going, dude, this thing is monstrous. Off to the left are Apollo capsules, and then I keep walking, and here's one of the Gemini capsules. Now, aside from the fact that I built Gemini models, okay, when I was a kid, the thing is dinky. It's straight up dinky. You look at it, and you can imagine them briefing. All right, boys, listen up. we're going to strap your ass into this thing. We're going to put you on a rocket that you can't even compute in your brain the power of this rocket. And then we're going to launch your ass into outer space. And you look at, remember those panels had, a million switches on them? You know, I remember building them as a kid. You'd see the panel and you'd be like, oh, what is all that? That's crazy. And now your phone has, 10 times the computing power, that little rocket. And they put dudes in there and they fired them into outer space. And you look at it, though, and you're like, yeah, those guys, that was a moderately ballsy event. That was a moderately ballsy event, but it's cool. I mean, they have the suits they wore there. They have, and then they have they have the Apollo stuff. They have the Gemini stuff, and you're just looking at it going, this is crazy. And I had no idea the thing. I said, when did this open? And it opened in 2003. I'm like, oh, my bad. So, but it is absolutely incredible. It has German military aircraft. Mostly from World War II. It has Japanese military aircraft from World War II. I mean, you see all these different aircraft. And, a lot of stuff that's in the American inventory. But I asked the guy because I didn't see a B-17, classic World War II aircraft, and I didn't see a C-47, which is the Normandy aircraft. You know, that the chef's dad flew, and but it was just like the workhorse of the United States military in World War II. And I said, why are those here? And he said, well, you know, normally everything that's in here for a reason. He said, and I don't want to say that you can see those just about anywhere, but they're all over the country. So, with the finite space they have here, these tend to be like one of a kind or one in the world. And you see some of the German aircraft, and they are the only one in existence today is at the Smithsonian Museum. That's how cool it is. And then some of the other stuff from early aviation history, you know, from like Langley and things like that, those... And, you know, the Wright brothers and stuff like that, that stuff is there. So it is, space is certainly an issue. You can see we pretty much maxed it out. But I will tell you, if you're going near DC, you have to go. And then they have a whole series of simulators that you can get in, and some for little kids. So it's an interactive place, and then others for adults. To simulate what it's like to ride in space, to re-enter on the space shuttle and things like that. So, again, I'm not normally the geekiest dude relative to, I can be a geek about museums, no doubt. But I will tell you that, without a doubt, put the National Air and Space Museum. And it's out by Dulles. It's a beautiful place too. Put that on your list of things to do. You will not and give yourself the better part of the day to go through it. Have lunch, take a break, and then go back and do some more. Because it is a fantastic museum. The Enola Gay is there. The space shuttle, and then all the different aircraft in our inventory. From Korea to Vietnam, the evolution of helicopters, the first medevac, the tiny little metalback helicopters that they flew. So, very cool stuff, very cool stuff. So I did that over the weekend. And then, that was Saturday morning, and then late in the afternoon, my son John and I went down and picked up my nephew. I call my nephew. He's not actually my nephew. He's my cousin's son, but I call him my nephew because my cousin Patty is like a sister to me. And her son John is at OCS. So so we went down and picked up John and a friend of his. And so, you know, you see him and you're laughing, right? They got that, they got the haircut that you've never seen him in, which is always funny. And, you know, they kind of got that candidate look on their face. So we see him, and as they're getting in the car, I'm talking to John's friend, and I said, "Where'd you go to school?" He said, "Up by Fargo, North Dakota." What? And I said, "Where?" And he said, "Mayville State." And my son John, he said, "I played football there." And my son John played football there too. It is like the tiniest, small school. They play NAIA football there, and they go from really good to really bad. And my son looks and turns around, and looks, he says, "Get out!" So it was funny. But so got a chance on Saturday evening to have dinner and hang out with my nephew John, and talk about OCS and whatnot. He's very interested. Yeah, actually, both of them are very interested. He said, "Uncle Michael, what are you doing back here?" He said, "You were talking to like the generals." I said, "I was about like 250 yards from you because where the symposium was at the if you know anything about the Basin Quantico, which most of you may not, but it is at the where that roundabout is. The base headquarters is called Lejeune Hall. So if you go down the lawn out of the front doors of that thing and you go across the long lawn, there's a traffic circle. If you hit the traffic circle and face to the right, you'll see the crossroads, which is what they call the officers club there, and the all ranks club they are now. And then you have the hotel essentially there, which is called the crossroads. So it was at that complex. But if you walk out the back of that complex and you walk, I don't know how many hundred yards, maybe a couple hundred, you're in OCS. So it was kind of funny that life is like that. So, but it got a chance to talk to him. And so they were curious, like, "So what is that?" And so we were talking about it, and they were like, "Wow, that looks cool." You know, it certainly sparked a lot of conversation. So anyway, that was my morning. That was my Saturday. I flew back Sunday, and then I get on the plane and I start to write. Okay, the 737, if you ride in non-first class part of the cabin, oh, man, excuse me. How about that for not very polite? Anyway, if you ride in a non-first class, you cannot even get your laptop out, sit it in front of you, and work on it. That's how little room you have. I'm against that. Like, do we really have to do... Do we really have to do the sardine thing? Right? Aren't there other ways to do that? So, I started writing. And I literally wrote with maybe an hour off. I literally wrote for 4 hours. I diagram, I'd write, you know, as kind of just the things from the week. And mostly about post-traumatic winning and how you do it, right? How you actually do it. So anyway, I did that. And then it's kind of funny, on my way out there and my way back, both flights, the people sitting next to me asked me about what I was working on. I've never had that happen to me in my life. "Excuse me. I know, I hope you don't mind, but I noticed what you were working on, and you do work in the area of trauma and PTSD." I said, "I do." And then as I start talking on the way out to the woman sitting on my right, who was an accountant, who asked me about it, the woman on my left said, "I'd love to know more about that because I teach wellness practices and mindfulness, and so we're always dealing with trauma. So it's honestly, it's amazing, and it reinforces for me how much of this is in our world. People trying to find their way, and that post-traumatic winning is a winner. Yeah, how about that? Just made that up. Post-traumatic winner is a winner. Post-traumatic winning is a winner. So let me tell you what we're going to do on the program today, this Monday. Since I haven't heard from him, I was trying to get Alex Hetherington on. Alex is the director of the Marine Corps West Expo that's happening this week at Camp Pendleton. Starts Wednesday night with a dinner. General Osterman's a guest speaker. And on Thursday night, there's like it's a combination trade show with speakers that do presentations. So I'll do post-traumatic winning at some point. Yeah. Wow. On Thursday, I think I do it at like noon or and then 1 on Friday. So I'll do that there on Thursday and Friday. And so that's cool. And so you'll hear Alex, I don't think today, you'll probably hear him tomorrow. And then you'll hear General Regner, who you heard previously talking about it on the show. So hopefully you'll hear him on Wednesday, which kind of marks the kickoff. So I was hoping Alex could come on this morning. Probably not, because I notified him fairly late. Then you will hear Grant Newsham. We haven't talked to Grant in a while. And so we'll talk to Grant and find out what he's got going on. And normally pretty exciting human being is Grant. Well, not very, but he's always fun to talk to. So we'll talk to Grant and then we'll talk to the gunner. I haven't seen the gunner since last Wednesday. And so we will talk to Mike. So all that in store for you today here on your home for everything that's cool and right in the world, All Marine Radio. Exactly. So it's time we officially begin the program after me geeking out about my experience at the museum. So the United States Marine Corps Band makes it official. Good morning to you. Dedicated to whoever the hell conceived of that museum, man. Wow. Well done, boys and girls. Well done. I mean, that, honestly, talk about national treasures. It's absolutely incredible. So get there and see it, man. The National Air and Space Museum, the Stephen F. Udvar Hazy Center. Normally he's a big donor. You can even eat there, too.
We are proud to play the lion of the night. You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
It defines us. It defines warriors like Gunnery Sergeant John Canley, a leader who led from the front. With his Marines outnumbered, he pushed forward during the Battle of Way City, standing tall during firefights and throwing himself into harm's way to keep his fellow Marines safe.
The only thing I was doing was just responding. The Marines, the young Marines, it shows them that it's not do as I say, it's do as I do. And just being that close with them brings motivation to them.
During firefights, when we'd be all hugging Mother Earth, he'd be standing up directing us. And I think if you talk to every Alpha Company Marine, we're amazed that he was never shot.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah, he goes, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain, it's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once them bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose, so you want to keep them in the cage.
Once you're out of the Corps, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me, I'm a poor veteran or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran, but, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
You got to win. That's right. The origin of post-traumatic winning is that. Looking for a name? What do I call this thing? I was just writing last summer. Which I got to start doing again. Anyway. So I look at it. And I'm looking around. And I somehow had to watch that video. Why I was watching the 2017 birthday message? I don't really know. And then I saw that and I was like, whoa, that's it? Little history for you. Little post-traumatic winning history for you. All right, time to check the weather around Marineland. Sunny and 43 in Quantico, where it was kind of cold over the weekend. It is mostly cloudy and 56 at Camp Lejeune. It is mostly sunny and 63 in Granbury, Texas. It's nice there today. Clouds and 46 in 29 Palms. Clouds and 51 at Camp Pendleton. In Okinawa, it is dark, cloudy, and 66 in the Al-Anbar province of Iraq, which evidently we're negotiating to go back to. It is clear, dark, and 56 in the Helmand province of Afghanistan. It is dark, cloudy, and 52 degrees at the home of All Marine Radio. Mostly cloudy, 54 degrees. Looking for rain and wind in the forecast today. 60 degrees with a high. Tomorrow, 54 degrees for a high and rain. And on Wednesday, 58 degrees as a high and a high of 58. That ain't right. That is not right. 58 degrees, like, what is that? All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, we will we'll check the news. And heading for the top of the hour when Grant Newsham is going to join us. So whatever you do, don't touch that dial. More of All Marine Radio coming up next on your home for it. The one and only All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
Hi, this is Tim McGarry from the McGarry Mortgage Minute. Heard every Wednesday right here on All Marine Radio, where I'll answer all your mortgage questions from home buying to home financing, from VA to conventional loans to moving in. So don't miss it. The McGarry Mortgage Minute, right here on All Marine Radio, on the All Warrior Radio Network. And remember, my name is McGarry, and I'm here to help.
Find all of Tim McGarry's contact information on the Read Board page at allmarineradio.com.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when the grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com. And I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
A message from DAV to all returning veterans. Thank you. Thank you for doing your duty. Thank you for doing our bidding. Thank you for laying it all on the line. Thank you for stepping up and not backing down. Thank you for putting your future on hold to put our enemies on notice. Thank you for putting your buddies' lives ahead of your own. Thank you for putting yourself in harm's way. Thank you for defending our freedom, for displaying your honor, for being a hero, even though you don't want to be called one. For all this and more, DAV thanks you, and we're here to help you. Expert DAV advisors will make sure you get the health, disability, and financial benefits you were promised and earned. If you're a veteran, visit DAV.org for free help. And again, thank you.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in a crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. Are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I wanna walk into a cold, bitter ocean, feel the sting of letting go of all hope and hope you make. Of this heartbreak, I'm gonna drive fast till I break down and know.
Peyton Davis.
Finally, cry these tears when I reach there, I scream. Yeah.
All right, 7:43. Here on a Monday morning, the 4th day of February. Among troops, vaping is now more popular than cigarettes. Yeah, until you go out to, and the whole vaping thing, right? That's worse for you, yes? So, this is a good thing. I mean, the people that make decisions like this is a good thing. Doesn't it deliver a more concentrated dose of that stuff? Across the branches, 7.4% of service members smoked cigarettes daily in 2015, compared with 12.9% of adults in the general population. So we're healthier than the general population. I love that. According to the results of the most recent Defense Department health-related behavior survey of active duty service members. And the number of troops who are occasional smokers smoked in the last month dropped by nearly half since 2011. Nice. Down from 20% to 13.9%. That's all. Those are good trends. What's the headline? Among troops, vaping is now more popular than cigarettes. Yet the picture looks very different for electronic cigarettes. 11.1% of service members said they were daily e-cigarette users. 12.14% had vape within the last month. So is that part of the cigarette percentage or not? In the junior enlisted ranks, nearly 20% are current e-cigarette smokers. The Marine Corps has the highest percentage of those vaping among the service branches with 16.1%. I can fix a lot of things. I can't fix stupid. The rise of e-cigarette use among troops occurred quickly. The 2015 data shows a five-fold increase in service members who said they had tried vaping compared to 2011. The researchers noted that although the health effects of e-cigarettes are not yet known, they contain chemicals that may cause harm to users and those exposed to secondhand vapors. How do we not know and, like, then this gets approved in the United States. And some military officials believe they can pose a safety hazard based on reports that the batteries can explode. Okay, I'm not so worried about the battery. Like, we can recover from that. But I think what we're ingesting into our lungs ought to concern everybody, yes. I don't understand. I mean, if this is going to be distributed in the United States, shouldn't it go down some, after what we learned about tobacco, shouldn't it go down some kind of path through the Food and Drug Administration that says these are good for you to ingest or these will kill you? Defense health and service officials have been distributing education materials about the negative effects of e-cigarettes for several years, along with information about the dangers of tobacco use and tips for quitting. They've emphasized that there's no proof that e-cigarettes will help people quit tobacco long term. I don't understand. Sales of traditional tobacco on military bases have fallen. In the Army and the Air Force exchange service stores, sales decrease by nearly half. Traditional tobacco now. In 2011 to 2017, from 68 million units to 37 million units. That's pretty amazing. However, what was it replaced by? Marine Corps exchange shows a similar decline, down from 5 million from 2011 to 2.5 million, more than 50% in 2017. Trends for e-cigarettes sales vary among the military exchanges, which started selling the product in 2012 or 2013. Like the vaping trend cited in the 2015 survey, sales of e-cigarettes have steadily increased from 2015 through 16 to today. But I don't understand, if the health effects of them are not yet known, why are they allowed to be sold? The guy who invented Motrin died. We're all sad about that. I mean, that guy helped a lot of people. All right. Little did English doctor Stuart Adams know at the time of his discovery of the groundbreaking compound, 2-TAC-4-TAC isobutylphenyl propionic acid, also known as ibuprofen, that it would one day become the cure-all for pain, injury, illness, and ferocious bouts of hurt feelings endured by generations of U.S. military personnel. A pioneer of medicine, Adams passed away Wednesday at the age of 95, his son confirmed to the BBC. This is kind of interesting, he begins his journey professionally as a 16-year-old apprentice in a retail pharmacy shop before he went on to earn his PhD from Leeds University, turning his attention to medical research that would forever reshape an unsuspecting, pain-ridden military across the pond. After feverishly experimenting and failing for 10 years on a number of compounds he hoped would provide pain-killing effects for patients suffering from rheumatoid arthritis, Adams and his team of chemists broke through with the discovery of ibuprofen. "I did think we would eventually succeed," he said. "I always felt we would." On the fateful morning in his earlier years, however, Dr. Adams discovered ibuprofen's limitless application. After drinking heavily with his mates the prior evening, as one does, Dr. Adams awoke to a throbbing headache. Scheduled to deliver a speech that day, the hangover-riddled doctor turned to his new concoction for assistance. I was first up to speak, had a bit of a headache after a night out with friends, so I took 600 milligrams just to be sure, and I found it was very effective. The medicine would be patented in 1961 and was made available over-the-counter in 1983. Somebody who's affected all of our lives. Yeah, a chemist, started working at a pharmacy in his teens. There's another couple of other stories that are sitting in. A couple of other stories that are sitting here that are also in early bird, so I'll cover them in a second under early bird. The Marine Corps suicide rate has hit a 10-year high. 75 Marines across the active duty and reserve component ended their own lives in 2018. That figure is the highest it has been in 10 years, the Marine Corps says. The majority of these cases include younger Marines who have not deployed or seen combat. Roughly 63% of the suicides in the Marine Corps in 2018 were Marines 25 years old or younger. According to Marine Corps Manpower and Reserve Affairs, it was 57 active duty and 18 reserve Marines who committed suicide in 2018. The Corps says the figures include verified and suspected suicides. Out of the active duty Marines, 44 cases were confirmed as suicides, with 13 suspected and pending verification by the Armed Forces Medical Examiner System. The Marine Corps suicide rate, first reported by CNN, portends a serious health crisis across the Corps. The reasons for the increase, the Corps says, are complex, and there is no known root cause. The Marine Corps has a slew of training initiatives and outreach programs regarding suicide and suicide prevention. Here. 1. Marine Unit Awareness Prevention Integrated Training 2.0. This educates them about suicide. 2. Marine Intercept Program. Voluntary Care Program helps Marines and sailors who have ideated about suicide. Marine Specific Crisis Resource. This Marine call center provides video or phone chat for anonymous and non-medical solutions-based counseling for a variety of life stressors. Operational Stress Control and Readiness, OSCAR training program, builds Marine leaders, medical and religious personnel within battalion-sized units. So OSCAR's been around for a while. Community Counseling Program. This program provides counseling services for Marine sailors and their families related to stress. So the bottom line is Marine Corps spends more money on suicide training, counseling, and every other thing known to man, and has and cannot get the suicide rate to go down. Top five stories in early bird. Number one, Pentagon studies post-INF weapons and the shooting down of hypersonics. What? Wait a minute. I thought nothing hypersonic was the invincible weapon. Blah, 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 blah. Oh, it is. It's invincible. Until some little geek says, oh, yeah, this is how it's guided, or this is how it works. And if we zap it with this, it'll tumble. And once it tumbles, it's done. So we'll just mess up the navigation system. A Pentagon study on how to counter hypersonic missiles, which China and Russia and the U.S. are developing, is in the final review and will be out soon, the director of Missile Defense Agency said. The analysis of alternatives, or AOA, looks at both existing interceptors and new designs, as well as direct energy weapons such as lasers, Lieutenant General Samuel Greaves said at the Center for Strategic and International Studies last week. Countering hypersonics is a high priority, but hardly the only one. So, yeah, trust me, hypersonics, right? Oh, whoa, whoa. All of a sudden, some little dork with a pocket protector is going to come out and say, hey, what about this? Another story that's been in the news. war crimes prosecution against Navy SEALs takes a double hit. A Navy SEAL who allegedly staged a reenlistment ceremony over the body of a dead Islamic prisoner during the Battle of Mosul in Iraq and also hovered a drone over the corpse may have acted in poor taste but did not commit a war crime. A Navy judge has ruled. I'm not sure. Why that's even part of the prosecution. What's being alleged is that he stabbed to death a wounded Islamic State soldier who was being tended to by a corpsman. Right? The rest of it is just stupid stuff. So, takes a hit. That's not much of a hit because the real crime is murder. So, then the third story is vaping among troops. The Air Force is going to spend $3 billion to rebuild Tyndall Air Force Base and make it an installation of the future. Now, everybody, if you don't remember, Tyndall was in the path of what Hurricane Michael in October, right? And what Hurricane Michael went ashore there and it spun around and then Camp Lejeune was hit by it. So Camp Lejeune, the bill will be, you know, I want to say I've read $3.8 billion. So again, a lot of this infrastructure built in World War II and maintained over the years. And so I won't say that these things are blessings, but it allows the DOD to the funding to get rid of old, dilapidated buildings and put up new infrastructure, which in many cases is sorely, sorely needed. Pentagon sending another 3,750 troops to the U.S.-Mexican border. I don't know about all that. With the additions announced on Sunday, the total number will be 4,350. What are they doing? Shanahan, acting SECDA, said several thousand more troops would be sent mainly to install additional wire barriers and provide a large new system of mobile surveillance and monitoring of the border area. Now, I didn't think that's what the active duty military was supposed to do, which was get involved in the active monitoring of the border. But anyway, all right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, Grant Newsham's going to join us. I haven't talked to Grant in a few weeks, so we will talk to him. And looking forward to it. So don't touch that dial. More of All Marine Radio coming up next on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.